Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about the indoor and outdoor solutions they have for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. AllTheBestPetCare.com will tell you where all of their 9 locations are throughout Western Washington. It is a gorgeous day today here, and I'd like to say hi to Eric, our booth engineer and program coordinator. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon, Julie.
Eric, this is what I would call abundant sunshine. Have you said that recently?
I haven't said that recently, but I definitely would agree with that statement. Yeah. And it's still cool enough to take your dog for a walk.
Well, yes, it is. But it's not cool enough to leave your dog in the car.
Absolutely not.
No, and I have a little bit of a rant about that today. But, so I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to give some information about that because I just had a encounter just earlier today, an unfortunate encounter with some dogs left in hot cars. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give some information about that today and also talk about a talk that I did last night at a local retirement community.
All right.
That was very fun. And then for the second half of the show, one of my all-time favorite guests will be back, Dr. Michael Fox, who has
the
authored...
fantastic Dr. Fox, as
yes.
I like to call him.
He has authored many books. He has a new book out called Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. And I had... Eric actually had this wonderful idea of inviting listeners to email questions. Listener mail, we'll call it. And so I've had some listeners email me some questions that they have about their dog. To a lot of training and behavior-related questions. And then I had one listener email me a question about that's a health-related question. And it's about their Cocker Spaniel, who's now 11 years old, had surgery for struvite bladder stones several years ago and was put on a prescription diet and has done fine since. But the listener wonders about switching to a homemade diet, and are there alternatives for dogs that have medical conditions who are on prescription diets?
Uh-huh.
Because I talk a lot about, you know, maintenance diets, just sort of regular diets for, you know, adult dogs, and how the pet food, you know, the pet food industry. We just talked to Susan Thixton last week about her new book, and it's a recurring theme on the show for sure. But what about if the dog has a medical condition? Now, I'm not a vet.
Right.
So I don't, you know, I want to hand that over to people who are qualified to answer those questions. So no one better really to have on the show for this than Dr. Fox. So we're going to have him on second half of the show to answer that question. And that's kind of something that I've come up against, you know, in working with clients. I always talk about food when I'm meeting with somebody for training or behavior. What are you feeding your dog? And I find it very easy to get people to switch, but one little snag that I do run into is, what if the dog is on a prescription diet or they have a medical condition?
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Because you don't want to just say, oh no, just switch over to this, because they do have specific needs.
Now, do you find in looking at their prescription diets that these dogs are on, are they made up of more nutritionally sound ingredients than your average dog food, or no?
One would think so, Eric, but they're not. Yeah. So I actually looked up the, and I'll talk more about this when we have Dr. Fox on, but I did look up the ingredient list of the specific diet that the listener told me that they were feeding, and it's garbage. I wish I was just saying that as an expression, but as we talked about last week, pet food industry actually, in general, and Susan Thixton was good in reminding me that there are a lot of really good pet foods on the market, but most of them, and especially the big name ones, they're made out of, you know, byproducts basically, or the waste of the industry of human food. So I wish that they were, but they're actually not.
but they're usually much more expensive than your average food as well, too. So
what gives?
It just doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money. So Dr. Fox will share his expertise on this topic later in the show. But I did want to talk a little bit about dogs and cars. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there, especially now. You know, people have probably seen it, you know, in a number of different ways as far as, you know, it's so dangerous to leave your dog in a car, you know, and we're not a hot climate. It's not like we're in Arizona or something like that where it's really hot, but it is, you know, close to 80 degrees today and in Seattle, and it's the first weather like this that we've had so far this year. But it doesn't even have to be that hot. I mean, there's some... you know, in weather in the 70s, if it's direct sunlight, that sun can still be very strong. And just, you know, opening the windows or cracking the windows for your dog in a car on a sunny day, it can still get really hot really fast. And it can really be potentially very dangerous for dogs to be left in the car because dogs they're not able to sweat like we are. Their main way of regulating temperature is through respiration and panting. And so, you know, they can only get rid of so much heat so fast. And, you know, cars can get up to, you know, well over 100 degrees very quickly. So I found this website. So I was going into the store today in Seattle, and I was walking out of the store, and I saw in the parking lot actually, two cars parked next to each other. They had no relation to each other, but they just happened to be two cars. One of them was a wagon that had two dogs in the back of the wagon, and the back of the wagon was in direct sunlight, which was where the dogs were. The dogs were in direct sunlight. And then the car next to it was a sedan. The dog was in the back seat with its head out the window. both cars in the middle of a parking lot. It's almost 80 degrees, direct sunlight, owners nowhere to be found, owners in the store. And I was like, are you serious? Oh, I mean, and I was looking at these two dogs, especially that were in the back of the wagon, in direct sunlight, could not get out of it. And they were also breeds that had, it's called brachycephalic, they have the pushed in faces. So they're actually, their breathing is already compromised anyway. But
like a pug?
Yeah. One of them was a boxer, and then the other one looked like a boxer mix.
Hmm.
So, and they were just, I mean, I could tell they looked distressed, and I was just, I mean, it's almost insulting to me to see that. It's like you're not even going to try to park in the shade or something, and that can even still be dangerous, too, if it's hot enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back into the store, and I found an employee and said, listen, there's two dogs in the parking lot in direct sunlight. And, you know, this can be really dangerous. This can actually cause, you know, neurological damage pretty quickly.
Right.
Or kill them. So I had them announce over the intercom about it. Yeah. But
that was nice that they did that.
Yes, it was. It was very nice. They were very accommodating and very genuinely concerned, which was great. But it just really disappointed me to see that. And I remembered seeing these flyers, I think, at my vet's office. That you can actually carry around with you and then leave on the windshield of a car like these ones that have the dogs, you know, in direct sunlight. And, you know, it's really unfair to the dogs. I mean, it's not just talking about damage, like neurological damage, but it's just not respectful or really thoughtful about the dog's comfort. I mean, would you want to have to sit in a car in direct sunlight with the doors closed, with the windows cracked for a while? No, that would be very unpleasant. So there's this website that I found called mydogiscool.com. And I posted a link to it on the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page. And they've got a couple different flyers, actually, that you can just download the PDF and print from your home, which is great. They have a few different ones that, and then you can also purchase some as well from their store if you don't want to print them out yourself. But they have flyers that, just educate people about, listen, this is how hot it can get in your car. This is how fast it happens. And this is how hot it needs to be outside. So a lot of people don't think, oh, it's just 75 degrees. It's fine. So this is something that you can kind of carry around in your car. And, if you do see a dog in the direct sunlight, you can leave it on the windshield. And then I also do recommend if you see a dog in distress, do what I did, try to go into the store, try to find the owner, and try not to be too angry with them because it's hard. In Massachusetts, actually, last summer I was visiting. I'm from Massachusetts. Now, the town that my dad lives in, they actually have a law against leaving dogs in cars in the summertime, and people will get ticketed.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
So the website is called mydogiscool.com. And, to just like the summer's finally here. It always, every year, it seems right around the 4th of July. Summer finally hits Seattle. And, with the hot weather, we just have to be so mindful of our dogs and their comfort and their well-being in the heat. If you've got them out, in the sun for a long time, providing shade, making sure that you have plenty of water for them. It's just common courtesy, but also they do have a different way of cooling and they can't sweat like we do. So that's mydogiscool.com. Check it out. I found it to be very helpful and I really liked that I could print those flyers and posters right from my own computer. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about my experience that I had last night talking to a retirement community in Bellevue about dog communication. It was the first time I've talked to that age group, and it was really, really amazing. And I want to share about that. And then we're going to have Dr. Fox back on the show to answer listener mail about alternatives to prescription diets. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match yet.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashen, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., we cover the world of animals. This week, it's your chance to join us while we broadcast live from the Pet Event of the Year. Come join us at America's Family Pet Expo at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. Leave your animal friends at home, but the rest of the family's welcome. Tons of education and entertainment, food, fun, and vendors that will take over the entire fairgrounds. The gates open at 10 a.m. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs
to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're back talking about all things dog. We were just talking about dogs in cars and how hot it is now and how you have to be so careful and to really just not leave your dog in the car when it's this hot.
Probably a good policy for small children as well.
Yes. Good point, Eric.
You know, I actually saw like a small kid with a dog in a car on a hot day just the other day. And I thought, well, at least they're watching each other. But I think that it was a very brief window of time in this particular
case. Pun intended.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's this website that I found, mydogiscool.com. And they had some great resources and some flyers that you could actually print out from home. Just download the PDF, and then you would have something that you could kindly leave on the window of a car that was violating that rule of don't leave your dog in a hot car.
Good idea.
Educate them. 'Cause I guess people don't know that it really doesn't have to be that hot for it to cause damage.
Well, it's a good thing, too, because it's quite tough to get up the nerve, I think, to maybe you're the exception on this, but it can be quite tough to get up the nerve to confront somebody, even if you think like, oh, that's a bad thing for them to do, to confront somebody where they could potentially be angry is hard, I think, sometimes. So having an opportunity to leave a note or something, I think, is a good thing.
I think it is. Although, if you ask the Dog Talk Show Facebook fans, because I posted about this, and they were on top of it.
Good.
And I've done that before, too. So I think there are actually a lot of people that will wait for people to come back.
Well, I think it's entirely justified. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But
I
sometimes it can be hard to...
Well, and it can be hard to not just assault somebody verbally when they come back.
Like, exactly.
Are you crazy? So in a little bit, we're going to be talking with Dr. Fox, answering listener mail about alternatives to prescription diets. But before that, I wanted to share an experience I had last night. I was doing a talk. So I do lots of public speaking, and I love doing it. And I did a talk at All the Best Pet Care a little while back about dog communication, effective communication with your dog. And it was so much fun. And you know, I teach group classes, and so, you know, I'm very comfortable up in front of crowds, and I actually really enjoy doing it, especially talking about dogs. So I did a friend of mine is the activities coordinator for a retirement community in Bellevue, and she asked me to come and talk to the residents there. Some of them actually do have dogs, and you know, and some of them don't, but they've lived with dogs all their lives, and to talk with them about, you know, dogs and talk about dog communication and interesting dog facts as part of that talk, too. You know, like that dogs and people have been living together for at least 14,000 years. And the average dog has the capacity to learn hundreds of words. And so it's just an evening with the older adults at this retirement community. It's independent and assisted living. And there were four dogs there. There was, let's see, Heidi, the miniature dachshund, was there. Priscilla, the pug. Tilly, the little mixed breed. I think she looks like a poodle mix. Very cute. And then Willie, the Lhasa Apso mix, came and joined us at the end. And I've actually not spoken to this age group before. You know, in a presentation formally. And it was really, really rewarding and so much fun. And such a pleasure to be there and to talk to them about dogs, because they, you know, just kind of having the perspective that they've, you know, a lot of them had lived with dogs all their lives, many dogs of all different types of breeds, and to just be able to, you know, engage them. And they asked some really great questions, and they were so energized and appreciative, and just they lit up really at the end of it. It was really amazing. And I would love to do more of that. So if anybody listening, you know, works at a retirement home or school or anything, I love public speaking, and that's definitely something that I'm available to do. And it was a really, really wonderful experience to talk with that that demographic. And one of the questions that one of the gentlemen there asked, which I thought was a great question, was, does the size of the dog have a, like, is there a correlation between the size of the dog and how smart they are? Like, if you have a large dog and they have a larger brain,
right,
are they smarter than a small dog that has a smaller brain?
Right. It's a good question, but
it is
by
a good
that
question.
Logic, cows would be smarter than us, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, yes, but I guess within species too.
Ah,
so,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
So, and you know, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. So, and my answer is no. I have not found that to be, if anything, it's more dependent, I would say, on breed and the individual as far as intelligence. And intelligence also looks different. You know, there's different types of intelligence. So, you know, there's like herding breed intelligence, like border collies and those guys that'll just, you know, what do you want me to do? And you show them once and they've got it. But there's other dogs that have a different type of intelligence. They're just designed to do different things. You know, like scent hounds. They're not, you know, generally hounds are not generally the they don't perform as well in, you know, obedience trials and stuff like that as do herding breeds. But it doesn't mean that they don't have strengths in other areas, or that, you know, right. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're more intelligent because my dachshund, who's a scent hound, you know, she'll do obedience, especially if there's food involved. But she's certainly not dumb. I mean, she is very good at getting what she wants. And so that to me is a sign of intelligence. They're just opportunistic.
Right.
And just kind of not really interested in obedience. Like, what's the point of this?
So she could be a politician.
Exactly. So, but anyway, but then I was actually thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, what about super, super large breeds? Because he had the question about like these tiny, tiny, tiny breeds, you know, like the pocket breeds and stuff like that. But I've actually noticed that the very, very large breeds actually kind of are slower. Physically, you know, literally slower, but also they seem sort of, they can be mentally slower. You know, the giant breeds like
St. Bernard
or, well, Newfoundland.
They've got that brandy around
they're
their
just
neck
drunk
at all times.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No. But so I was actually thinking, well, no, actually, maybe the opposite in some cases. So it's just an interesting question. Size of the brain does not necessarily mean that the dog is smarter. Little dogs, too.
Size doesn't matter.
Size
when it comes
doesn't
to
matter.
Dogs.
No. Little dogs, though, I found tend to be very smart. Like the little companion dog breeds, Shih Tzus and those guys, toy breeds. They're not, you know, herding or working breeds, but they are very smart and not to be underestimated, for sure. Anybody with a small dog probably agrees with me on that. And we don't think that they're actually capable of working in the same way, but they actually are. So, very interesting question. They were just so appreciative, and it was just such a pleasure to be there. And to talk to them about the dogs that they had. One of the women there was a breeder. She bred labs, I think, very, you know, on a very high level. She bred black labs. And so she was talking to me about that. And it was just, I'm still obviously just basking in the memory of the experience. So if you have a you know, public speaking interest for me to come and speak to a population, you can contact me at host@dogtalkshow.com. That's host@dogtalkshow.com. And that email will come directly to me. And I love public speaking, like I said, so I'm happy to do it. So I had a listener. We have this listener mail segment now, which is great. And people have emailed in a bunch of really great questions. And I had an email recently that a listener mailed that was talking about alternatives to prescription diets. And so I'm going to read the email. And then when we come back from break, we're going to bring Dr. Fox back on the show. He's been on the show, I think, 3 times already. He's written a number of books, Dog Body, Dog Mind. He co-authored a book called Not Fit for a Dog, The Truth About Manufactured Dog and Cat Food. And that book talks actually a lot about prescription diets. But the email says, about 5 years ago, our Cocker Spaniel, now 11 years old, had surgery for struvite bladder stones. She was put on a prescription diet and has done fine since. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about switching to a homemade diet. I believe a natural diet is best for most of us, humans included, but what about medical conditions? Is it risky at all to change her diet from something that's been working? So my opinion is that, yes, there are other options, but I don't know. I'm not a vet, so I don't want to speak to specific medical conditions, but I believe there are alternatives. So Dr. Fox is going to be on the show when we come back from break to answer that question, to talk about his new book that's just come out, Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Back with us now is one of my favorite guests we've had on a few times now. Dr. Michael Fox is with us today. Hi, Dr. Fox.
Hello, good afternoon, and I'm sorry I missed you earlier, but let's get on with the good business.
All right. So I had a listener, we have a listener mail segment, and the listener wrote a question about a medical condition, and it was about their Cocker Spaniel that had struvite bladder stones. They had surgery for it, and then she was put on a prescription diet and has done fine since. And the listener's question is, what about switching to a homemade diet? They seem inclined to a more natural diet, but are concerned about the medical condition. Is it risky to change the diet? And also, what are other options other than prescription diets?
Well, my first response generally with prescription diets is if they work, don't change unless you're really going to do some research on
right.
The struvite crystal one is one of those easier ones to fix with a change in diet. They basically acidify the diet, and it's often linked with too much of a high cereal content with a bit of genetic background going on too. And sometimes you'll have an inflammatory bladder condition, and there are little cells and inflammatory processes going on in the bladder, and they create the nuclei for these crystals to form.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these commercial diets do work very well. If you want to take the alternative, and this is often advisable when dogs and cats, too, don't like the prescription diet, because many of them, you know, for chronic kidney and liver problems, just seem to be very unpalatable.
Yeah.
And have some weird byproducts in. There is a company run by veterinarians in Davis, California,
mm-hmm.
that provides special recipes so that you can make from scratch your own special prescription diets. And of course, they're not free. You can buy them or work through your veterinarian who can make the connection. And I've got the print out here, it's pretty good. It's called Balance It, I-T.
Balance It?
Balance It. Software and supplements. They also have some beautiful supplements. Designed and supported by board-certified veterinary nutritionists, help pet lovers and veterinarians acquire customized home-cooked diets that are complete and balanced. And they provide diets for a whole variety of conditions. Of course, the big one today is obesity, overweight.
Right.
And I have a phone number here. It's 1-888-346-6362. And if anybody wants to write down the address, it's Balance IT, Customer Support, DVM Consulting, 606 Pena Drive, P-E-N-A Drive, Suite 700, Davis, California, 95618.
That's great. I'll post all that information on the Dog Talk Show homepage
good.
As well.
And I've spoken to these people, and I'm really very impressed, and there's a great need for it.
Okay.
Now, so, in our book, Not Fit for a Dog.
Yes.
The Truth About Manufactured Dog and Cat Foods. One of the co-authors is Dr. Meg Smart. She's a professor of veterinary nutrition at the veterinary school in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Mm.
And she took a whole semester off to spend her time looking at these manufactured prescription diets. And her final conclusion was, there is so much to be desired that we need to look for alternatives, because a lot of the ingredients that go in are simply not good. And in fact, one major manufacturer of some of the dog prescription diets that veterinarians are providing has ethoxyquin in, one of the really nasty preservatives. So
yeah,
you've got to think twice.
Well, so what I, so my, my opinion is that there's got to be other options, you know, and it sounds like there are with this website. Balanceit.com offers recipes so people can actually make their own prescription diets, and they are actually formulated by veterinarians. So it's going to meet the animal's health, you know, needs nutritionally. But the, you know, and so the reason why I say there's got to be other options is because I looked up the ingredients of this particular food that the listener was feeding, and the ingredients are rice, ground corn, chicken fat, chicken meal, natural flavors, corn gluten meal, dried egg product, powdered cellulose, and then just a whole bunch of, you know, basically the vitamin supplement.
And Julie, if that works, okay, but so very often, as I point out in my new book, called Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. It's on my website, Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. Very often, these kinds of diets result in other nutritional-related problems.
Right.
And these corn allergies, especially in cats, sometimes they will have wheat gluten in, and if you have a wheaten terrier, you know, goodbye, you've got inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah.
And some of the other glutens can cause problems, too, with digestive upsets, and they load up with soy protein. And then chicken meal, you know, let's give these animals some quality protein. And the flip side is that with all these cheap byproducts going in that are all acidified, the animal is essentially malnourished. It might not get any more struvite stones, but it could start losing weight. Poor nutrition means a weaker immune system, and you can upset the apple cart. So then you will need another prescription diet.
Right. And I think that's sort of the conflict, is that these diets somehow are formulated to take care of the symptom.
Yeah.
The stones, or the diarrhea, or, you know, the vomiting, or whatever the
problem.
Symptom
yeah.
is. But they're not giving the dog the nutrition that they need, or cat.
Exactly. Now, you hit the nail on the head there. And, you know, I have great respect for the nutritional scientists who are coming up with these formulations. You know, it's amazing how far they have advanced in creating manufactured foods that will just about maintain life,
yeah.
if you're lucky, but get rid of the problems.
Right.
But that's their... That is their task. They are not veterinarians. They run a few clinical trials, but long-term tests need to be done. And essentially what they've got to deal with, what the materials that they have to work with are basically food and beverage industry byproducts from the human food chain. And as I've raised before, when we're getting into the corn and soybean that is not organically certified,
mm-hmm.
we have a host of other problems related to probably higher levels of herbicide residues that can cause problems in the animal's digestive system. And in some of these genetically modified crops that are sprayed with herbicides like Monsanto's Roundup,
mm-hmm.
It affects the soil organisms, so that then affects the nutrients going into the plants. And a lot of corn and other genetically engineered crops are actually deficient in essential trace minerals like zinc and magnesium and manganese. And so it's just not good stuff to put into anything in the first place.
Well, and they're not designed to eat that. I mean, dogs and certainly not cats, they just don't. They're not designed to eat, you know, corn and wheat.
not at all, and a lot of people believe that we're not too.
Right.
At least in moderation, but when you read the bag on some of these dog foods.
I know.
You know, corn is number one. Corn gluten.
Yeah.
Corn meal, you know. It's borderline criminal.
Yeah. I would, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. It's a can of worms.
And then they say, well, we've added the omega fatty acids and so on. But that bag could be a year old before you open it.
Right.
And even if it's been well sealed, these things oxidize, they rancidify,
mm-hmm.
and then they will spray the dry kibble with animal digest. Now, just imagine, animal digest.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. I still don't know what that is.
It's kind of a simmered gruel of the remains in the slaughter plants and rendering houses.
Why is it called digest?
Well, because it's been partially fermented. Now, fermented foods are very good, so long as you stay in the plant sector. But once you get into fermented foods in the animal fat and protein sector,
yeah,
you could be getting into some pretty weird things.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very good.
No.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Michael Fox, author of his new book, Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, diddle-dee-daddle-da, doddle-do, doodle-dum. Was a splendid little fella with some grace and charm.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079. For more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life, that's naturalpetpantry.com.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Any little critter needing vittles for its midlands. Well, he stole, and he cheated, and he lied just to survive.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back talking with Dr. Michael Fox, author of his new book, Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. Dr. Fox, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So you just answered a question that a listener wrote in to me about prescription diets and alternatives to prescription diets for pets with medical conditions, because it is a much more complicated situation when you have a specific medical condition going on, whether it be bladder or kidney or otherwise digestive. But my concern is, okay, well, I read the ingredients on these bags of food and it just sounds like garbage to me. And so there's got to be something else. But what do you do when it's a specific medical condition? And it sounds like there are some. You said that there's a website called balanceit.com, and they actually provide, you can purchase prescription recipes that you can make at home. So not only are you addressing the symptoms, but you're also providing your pet with the nutrition that they need to otherwise be healthy.
Yes.
So you have a new book out, and you've written a number of books. They're all wonderful. And this one is called Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. And it sounds like you really tackle a lot of topics. You mentioned vaccines. And of course, you connected us with Dr. Gene Dodds when we had our German Shepherd, who was a candidate for.
That's right.
Yes. And boy, is she brilliant.
Yes.
And I was able to interview her on the show and learn about her work and the work that she's doing to actually change the industry standard from vaccines, rabies vaccines, from every 3 years to every 5 years and then eventually every 7 years. So thank you so much for that connection. Remy, the German Shepherd, is doing remarkably well now, several
Excellent.
Months. Yeah, but it was a long road for sure. So you talk about vaccines, you talk about other practices like ear cropping or, tying dogs out.
Ear cropping, tail docking. I have a dig at dog shows and the breed standards. I talk about genetic defects and heritable diseases and various pure breeds. It's a very, very deep study of areas of concern for people who own and breed and care for dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
Companion animals, sections on what makes an animal happy, what are their basic rights, and the nutrition side. I have a very extensive review on vaccinations and also how they can affect people, triggering autoimmune diseases, multiple sclerosis and things like that, which my younger daughter has now. She got loaded with vaccinations before she went to Africa on some trip. And came down with it not too much later. And I wish she'd consulted with me. There's quite a devastating list. And dogs seem to suffer much more than cats do from adverse vaccine reactions. And I review this in the book, much of it thanks to Dr. Gene Dodds.
Yeah.
Then I look at nutrition from angles that nobody else has really looked at except Gene and a few others. One is called epigenetics. How things can influence the genes. Environmental factors can influence how genes function and express. And, for example, if a mother rat, test rat, is fed junk food, her offspring are going to prefer that junk food, and they're going to be very, very prone to develop obesity and diabetes. So we think about all the dog breeders out there. What in heaven's name are you breeding? Are you feeding your breeders?
Yeah.
You've got to make good nutrition there. Otherwise, the puppies, no matter how genetically good they are from your selective breeding, if you don't select the nutrition, you're kind of undermining yourself and harming the dogs. They'll have health problems later in life.
Well, I have a question for you about the, kind of back to the prescription diet question, and I'm sure that you talk about this in your book, and I know you talk about this in Not Fit for a Dog. But so I have a listener emailed me about, alternatives to the prescription diet, which leads me to believe that the listener doesn't have other options through her vet. So,
well, I'm afraid that's it, and I'm glad you touched on that, because I have at least one chapter in this book which really cuts very, very hard at what I call the veterinary practice that is selling this, I call it crap on the shelves,
mm-hmm.
and selling annual booster vaccinations. And the first thing you see as you walk in is Frontline and all these other systemic chemicals to kill fleas and to evoke fear of pestilence mm-hmm. in the people coming in. There is that dark side of veterinary medicine, suffering also from overcapitalization, so that all these expensive diagnostic tests and things are going the same path as human allopathic medicine,
mm-hmm.
which is failing left, right, and center, because they don't look at the basics of sound nutrition and exercise, right environment, right relationship, avoiding stress and everything else.
Mm.
And these are the holistic things,
right?
Holistic principles that I spell out in the book. Then I go even deeper into how our food is being produced, processed, raised, the genetically engineered crops that are not good for us, the environment, or for our companion animals. And also look at some wildlife issues and related aspects of how we are generally turning the planet into a toxic waste dump, which is affecting everything and everybody.
Well, I was just talking last week with Susan Thixton, who has a new book out called Buyer Beware, and she talks about the regulations in the industry and how sort of backwards they are and really how
I have a chapter on that. I call it the FDA is the Food and Drug Alliance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, and this was the case, too, with the flea products. I had somebody from Natural Resources Defense Council on the show talking about the fleas. There's a product or a chemical that's actually been banned by the EPA because it's so toxic, and yet it is still available on the shelves in the form of a flea collar. I mean, these are proven carcinogenic chemicals.
No, it's absolutely appalling. And what I'm working on right now is Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, glyphosate, which is very harmful to aquatic life. You get deformed frogs, probably birth defects in babies, and affects all kinds of organ systems. The science has been done. The science is out there. And they're spraying it in the kids' playground here, on the ballpark, on a baseball diamond. They're using it wholesale on genetically engineered crops that are resistant to this herbicide, so nothing else will grow except the corn, soybean, sugar beet, canola. And now the USDA has approved it for alfalfa, which is for dairy cows, and Kentucky bluegrass. So people are going to be planting Kentucky bluegrass lawns and covering it with herbicides so nothing else will grow. And it all runs off. It goes into the water.
Right.
And into the food chain and into the amniotic fluid bathing the next generation. So heaven help us all.
Yeah.
Well, stop this nonsense. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your book is just loaded with information about all sorts of different types of topics. It's called Healing Animals and the Vision of One Health. And Dr. Michael Fox is the author. And is it available through Amazon?
It's available through Amazon, and you can also get details on my website, which is www.twobitdog.com/DrFox, D-R-F-O-X.
Okay, and I'll post a link to that as well on the Dog Talk Show website.
Send me a reminder, and I will send you a review copy pronto.
Excellent. Okay. Sounds good. Well, Dr. Fox, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for making the time today to be here with us and to answer this listener mail question. Very informative, and thanks so much for all the work that you do.
Well, my pleasure, and our two feral cats enjoyed it, too. They're at my feet here.
Even though it's the Dog Talk Show.
Yes, and I can kiss them on their tummies, even though they were Minnesota Wild and Feral.
Oh, wow.
They've come around, so there is hope for us all.
Excellent.
Love heals all.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If you've missed any part of this show or any of our over 100 episodes, you can go to dogtalkshow.com and listen to any of our shows on the website there. Just go to the podcast page and you can click on any show and it will start playing from your computer. If you'd like to download the show for free and listen on your iPod while you walk your dog, perhaps, you can go to iTunes and download the Dog Talk Show for free on iTunes as well. You can also find us on Facebook, the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page. Become a fan, and then you can interact with myself and my fans between shows throughout the week. Eric, enjoy the abundant sunshine, and remember, don't leave your dog in a hot car. It's too hot out there. Enjoy the sun. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.